This reading's taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43, page 1053 of the Church Bible. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Good morning. It's a real pleasure to be here with you this morning. It's always a pleasure to be at St. Paul's. You are an amazing church, and I'm just astounded with your notices and all that you're doing. It's fantastic. You're a church who really love well, and you love your community well, and so it's a real honour and privilege to be here with you this morning. I'm here from the Haiti Hospital, or HHA, to talk to you about what we've been up to and where we're going and our future and our vision. And as I sat down to prepare this, I thought, oh, there's just so much I could say. I could talk for an hour, but I've promised Simon only 20 minutes. So we'll see. But you as a community have made such an impact on us in Haiti. Just the school, recently they raised enough money to rebuild the roof and refurbish the kitchen at a Maison de Benediction, and to provide a CPAP machine for our neonatal unit, which is all very complicated, but basically saving lives. And so it's so exciting. And on behalf of everybody at HHA, I just want to say a big thank you. But it's an exciting time for HHA because at the moment we are in the middle of a transition, and we are going to be changing our name to Hope Health Action, which is quite exciting. Now, you may wonder why. When 11 years ago, my husband and his friend went to Haiti after seeing a post-it note from a Haitian pastor who had shared with them about the poverty in Haiti. So they got in a plane and they went there, and they were just overcome by what they saw. And on the way home, they were just thinking about names, and they came up with the Haiti Hospital Appeal. There was no great strategy or plan. It was just a name they came up with. God has done in that time immeasurably more than we could ever have dreamed about. We now have a 100-bed hospital. We have 175 staff members. And it has gone far bigger than we could ever have imagined. So when looking at the name Haiti Hospital Appeal, when we looked at it, people thought it was just like a one-off appeal. You know how you sort of have an appeal for a hospital roof or something? So it sounded like a one-off. And hospital, we actually do far more than the word hospital covers. We do disability care, we do community work, we do advocacy, and that isn't really covered by hospital. And the word Haiti, we love Haiti, we're committed to Haiti, we love Haiti. But there's a stirring at the moment about maybe God is calling us to replicate what we've done in Haiti in places where there is a real need. And so this gives us the opportunity to do that. So after lots of prayer and consideration, the name Hope Health Action came into being. And as of June, that is what we will be using. It's still got the same HHA, which makes it much easier. So you can still refer to it as HHA, which I seem to and do. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Hope, Health and Action, looking at the story of the blind beggar and trying to mix them together and see how we go. So first of all, we're going to think about hope. Now, to me, the whole point of this is it's about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And we want to see how Jesus interacts in this story. So, as we come to this, Jesus is walking through Jericho. It's busy. There's lots of people. And then there is this blind beggar. We find out his name is Bartimaeus because actually this story is in, it's also in Mark and it's also in Matthew. In Mark, we find out his name is Bartimaeus. In Matthew, there were two beggars, but it's the same story. And he was going through the gates. He was sitting at the gates of Jericho, which is where most beggars would have been, sitting, waiting, begging. And he was in a desperate situation. He was disabled. He was blind. That would have meant he was the lowest of the low. He would have no opportunities. He could be thinking, you know, this isn't my fault. This is all their fault. In a terrible situation. But Bartimaeus had hope. He didn't just sit there and be like, oh, this Jesus fella, yeah, whatever. He was like, he saw the hope in Jesus Christ as he walked by. He heard what was going on and he had hope. And so when he comes by, he doesn't just sit there. He yells. And he doesn't just yell, Jesus or teacher or preacher. No, he yells, Son of David. Now that's quite significant because Son of David in Jewish times would have meant basically that he was saying Messiah. It's like he knew that he was from the line of David and that he knew that he was actually the Messiah and that he could provide more than just physical healing. It would be spiritual healing. So even though he was blind, he could see, if that makes sense. He had hope in Jesus that he was the way, he was the future. So we wanted, as HHA, we're looking to a new name. We knew that we had to have hope in there because that was part of who we are and what we've been doing, trying to bring hope to the hopeless. Our tagline for a number of years has been bringing hope to life, trying to bring hope in the darkness and the vulnerable times. We work a lot with people with disabilities in Haiti because we see that darkness, which just need the hope of light. We work with disabled people for many reasons, and it kind of started this, when I read this many years ago. If it was possible to gather together all the disabled people in the world into one nation, that mythical nation would number 1 billion men, women, and children. But that nation would have the least access to education, the lowest proportion in employment, be the poorest nation on earth, have the least access to any sort of transport, and be the least evangelized nation with the lowest proportion involved in the church. And that, like, struck me. It was like, actually, when we were working in Haiti, like, these people need a church. Like, this is where we need to be. So we have a Maison de Benediction, which is our respite centre for disabled children. It's where disabled children can come during the week and can be supported. Their families can be supported. We have an amazing staff there. We also have a rehabilitation centre for adults with disabilities where they can come. And we also do advocacy work. And we have a community-based rehab team. This stop from a number of years has started again, which is so exciting. And we had a story of one of our children, Stanley. And his mum wanted to take him to church. His foster mum. But he wasn't allowed. Basically, people were saying, you can't bring him to church. He's disabled. He's cursed. He's got voodoo. No, we don't want him in our community. He's not allowed. Pastor kind of turned a blind eye, didn't say anything. So we sent our community worker to go and talk to the pastor. They went and they shared, they looked at the Gospels, they looked at how God used people like Moses who stuttered and didn't speak right, but he needed Aaron to help him, but he was still mightily used for God. He talked about that and he talked about how, you know, the church is one body. The next Sunday, Stanley went with his mum and with our community worker. And the pastor preached about one body and how they should be included in the church. They are now part of a community. And that is what we mean about bringing hope. We need to bring hope where there isn't hope. We also have, this is Dear Donnie. He is one of our spinal patients. He fell out of a tree, broke his back, which meant that he couldn't do anything. He was left hopeless, like Bartimaeus, kind of the bottom of the rung, nothing that he could do. And his prayer and his hope and his dream was to have a job. But in a country like Haiti, where there is mass unemployment, there is difficult opportunities even for those who are educated or even for those who are skilled. As a disabled man, his chances were very slim. However, he had hope in God. He had a hope for his future. And he managed to get on a solar panel building course. And this was him. We were just there at Christmas. And this is him in his house where we went to visit him. And he was so proud to invite us into his house. This to him was like a mansion. He has a franchise of solar businesses. And he's now living his life. He's living life to the full, spiritually. He had hope. And I think sometimes we need hope in Jesus. I don't know where you guys are right now, whether you have hope in Jesus. I know sometimes we pray and it doesn't always, we don't see things happen straight away. But I just urge you, wherever you are, wherever you are, that there is hope. When we call out to Jesus, he does answer. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, maybe in 10 years' time. It may not be the way we want it to be, but there is hope. Obviously, we work in health, so when we were looking at the next word, health should be in there in some way. That might help people understand what we do. And it's good to look at the story of Bartimaeus, and look, when he cries out, Jesus was in this big crowd, he didn't know where he was, but he was led and found him, and he said, come, bring him here. And then Jesus says, what do you want? Which I find that's quite a crazy question, because of course Jesus knows everything. But he said to him, what do you want? And he said, I want to see. And Jesus healed him. Now, Jesus sometimes heals through doctors, sometimes heals through medicine, and sometimes God heals through miracles. Sometimes he doesn't, for his own, God is sovereign. But we really felt, moving to Haiti, that health was just a way of being God's hands and feet, of showing his love every day to those who don't have that in their community. So we moved to Haiti, and this is our... We had a volunteer come with a drone, which is really fun, which meant that we got to take some fun pictures of the hospital to see how it has grown. Just to give you an idea of what we do, this is our hospital. You can see it's like the Cap-Haitien, the main city, is in the background. Over here is our Maison de Benediction Respite Centre, which is where I said where we look after the disabled children. Here is our Disability Sports Centre. Now, this is a place where disabled adults can come and can be involved in sport. As we've shared before, we've had a member go to the Olympics, one of our sports centre guys, and it's a place where those with a disability and adults can go and work out, and just great for like mental health, all sorts of things. We have our rehabilitation unit, which deals with stroke and spinal cord injury. This was where we had the cholera treatment centre when that epidemic hit Haiti. This is our community health clinic, which provides 24/7 service for those who need to see a doctor. This is our paediatric unit, which has our neonatal unit and a paediatric ward. Our maternity unit, our surgical unit, and a new emergency unit. So I just want you to just picture that actually none of those buildings were there 11 years ago, which is why when the name Haiti Hospital Appeal came, it was, I guess, small-minded thinking without seeing what God could do, not having any idea of how God can work. So God is interested in our health, not just our physical health, but our spiritual health, our mental health. Health is important. And then in the story of Bartimaeus. There was action. Now, I love this because there's action by Jesus. I often think about this, about how I'm sure if the disciples were setting Jesus' agenda, they'd be like, right, so we have to go here, we have to do this, we need to have rest, we need to have food. But Jesus followed the Holy Spirit and went with the Holy Spirit's agenda. And as you read through Luke, you see this so often in the story just after this one, how there's Zacchaeus in the tree, how Jesus was covered with crowds, people everywhere. And then this one little guy sitting on the floor, he hears him. He's led by the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Holy Spirit to action. He could have been like, I'm too busy. We've got to get there. We're going. But he was stopped. He was led by the Holy Spirit to action, to call that man over, to say, Bartimaeus, come here. Come. What do you want? Be healed. Bartimaeus, too, I think he is the... He was called to action. He didn't just sit there quietly. He didn't think, oh, well, maybe he'll notice me. Maybe I'll just be like, oh, Jesus, hello. Maybe he'll notice. No, he went all out. It's like the end of a football game. You know, like it's like the end of the, let's say we ever got to the final of the World Cup. And it's like the last, it's 1-1 and it's the last 10 minutes. And the players just go all out. They give it everything they've got. Because there's no point in giving it everything they've got tomorrow. It won't count. They've got to give everything they've got now. And this was Bartimaeus' moment. Jesus was passing by. And in fact, he was going to Jerusalem where he ended up dying. So this was his moment. This was his chance. He didn't care what people thought. He started yelling. They were like, shush, be quiet. People kept on telling him to be quiet. But no, he didn't care. He was going to go all out. He was going to persist. He was going to yell. He was going to get the attention. Because he knew that he had to take action at that moment. That if he didn't at that moment, that opportunity may pass him by. And it may never come up again. I don't know if there's any of you in your lives at the moment where there's an opportunity and you're like, I'm not sure. But maybe it's the time, the call to action, that now is the moment, now is the time that we should be going for it. Jesus heard and transformed. I wanted to share a story about Pastor Sadok, who is one of our pastors in the hospital in Haiti. He is the most humble, amazing man. He's probably one of my favourite people in the world. And he comes every day to the hospital. He leads prayers outside the clinic, and then he goes around each department praying with people, and then he's in the clinic for like one-to-one prayer and counselling. And when cholera hit Haiti, there was a huge stigma around cholera, and people were dying because they didn't want to admit they had cholera. People were like staying at home, and the thing about cholera is it's like a mass dehydration, that it's quick, and if you don't get help quickly, then you can die quickly. But there was a huge stigma. People, like upper class people or middle class people, associated it with the poor, so they didn't want to say that they had it. They didn't want to go for help. People were uneducated with how it was passed on. Cholera is a waterborne disease, so there is no way you can get it by spending time with somebody who has cholera. But there was huge stigma and worry about it. And we had our cholera treatment centre, and I was talking to Pastor Sadok one day, and I was like, you know, and how's the prayer going in the cholera treatment centre? And he looked at me sheepily, and he was like, I'm too scared to go. And I was just a bit like, okay. And sort of just sort of said to him, well, you know, I urge you to go. And so for him, that was a big step, because he really felt that, in his mind, that if he kind of went to the cholera treatment centre, he could get cholera and die, even though it could never have happened. But for him, in his mind, that was the big step he took. So from that day, he started going into the cholera treatment centre and praying. And I was there just this Christmas, and I was talking to Pastor Sadok, and he went, I wanted to tell you what happened to me last week. And I said, what? And he was like, I was on a tap-tap, which is a bit like a bus, but where everyone's like squeezed in. And he said, this man tapped me on the shoulder and said, you don't know who I am, do you? And he said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. And he said, I was really sick with cholera in that treatment centre, and you came to me and you shared Jesus with me. And since then, my life has never been the same. He's like, I'm physically better, but I'm spiritually on fire for God. And he changed his life. He was into drugs and alcohol, gave all that up, and has changed his life completely. But it's because Pastor Sadok took action. He stepped out. He went where it was vulnerable and difficult, where he didn't want to go. He stepped out. I don't know if there's any of you in your lives where God's calling you to do something, and it may be difficult, it may be hard, it may be embarrassing, like Bartimaeus just yelling. But sometimes we just need to make that step, that call to action. So as Haiti Hospital, Hope Health Action, as HHA, we have been doing lots of things in our call to action. This year we refurbished our clinic, so it might look slightly different to when other people were there. It's been all refurbished, it's been purpose-built. Again, this was our clinic at the beginning, which wasn't... We only thought it was going to be a small community clinic, and then it kind of exploded. So it needed refurbishing and making better. We are still investing in Paralympic sport, and this is Fritzner, who's hopefully going to Rio at the moment to represent Haiti in the Paralympics. And he works at our sports centre, so he spends a lot of time there training, working out. Last year, we did over 1,141 deliveries, which is like providing safe lives. And about 35% of these were emergency C-sections. Now, you wouldn't get that many emergency here, but it's because we have those facilities. If they weren't there, they would have probably just died. And the fact that we have a centre with we have somebody there all the time that can provide that care means you save lives. We are one of the only existing neonatal care units in the country at the moment. No, in the north, sorry, at the moment, which is working. We're doing community health. So we've supported nearly 800 deliveries in their homes. So we have a group of community health agents and traditional birth attendants. Here they are. Working in the communities. And we have a new A&E unit, which is very exciting to provide accident emergency help and support. Haiti's in a really critical time at the moment. There's an interim government, which means that the interim government are not currently paying any national services. So currently in Cap Haitien at the moment, the government hospital has closed down. Which means that, at the moment, our numbers are... I spoke to them last night, and they said it's about 3 to 4 times the amount of people who we normally have. But having places like this new unit means that we have space to expand. We're trying to look to the future, to how we can expand and how we can be best positioned to support the people of Haiti and to just follow God in what his work is. In doing that, my husband is not here today, who is meant to be preaching. He is in South Sudan, as you do. He is there. South Sudan's been somewhere that God has been placing on our hearts for quite a long time. I'm sure lots of you have it when you know God is speaking to you, where everywhere you go, people talk about South Sudan, and then you go and meet somebody and they say, oh, I've just come from South Sudan. Okay, God. So Carwin was being obedient and going and meeting with several agencies and several organisations there to just see how, maybe not, but maybe to see what God can do, and maybe if that is somewhere we are meant to call. South Sudan has got the poorest rate of infant mortality in the world. And obviously we've done a lot of maternal care, so that would be somewhere which would be a good place to go. There is little to no disability work. People are just sort of left to fend for themselves. Obviously, it's been a country raged by civil war, and it's one of the newest countries in the world. So there's a lot going on there, and it's just something we are looking at and exploring for the future. with Hope Health Action. So it's all about Jesus. And I just want to just, as I come to close, I want us to think about our lives and how our lives would look if we had our hope completely in Jesus all the time. If we lived our lives as though we knew Jesus was going to answer every single moment. If we lived our lives full of action, doing what we know he's told us to do, stepping out, doing the thing that might be uncomfortable or difficult. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is always the answer. He is always the answer to anything, that we will have our hope in Jesus, our health through Jesus, and we do our action with Jesus. Jesus is, we pray continually that Jesus will be at the centre of all the work we do at Hope Health Action. I nearly said HHA. At Hope Health Action, that Jesus is at the centre and we will just always try and be obedient to what he is doing and how he is going. But I just pray for you guys that may your hope be in Jesus, may you have complete health through Jesus, and may you be called to action with Jesus, and that we live in the light of eternity and we live lives to change others. Father, thank you. Oh, ambulance. Oh, sorry. Yes. So our ambulance, there was the roads, it's very mountainous, and there was a landslide and the ambulance fell down. He was going really slowly, but it fell down a dip. And so they managed to get it out. But we're having an emergency appeal for that at the moment. And so, yes, I don't know how it's doing because Carmen's in South Sudan and he knows all that. But I'm sure it's going to help. Thank you.